We'd like to welcome you to Tree City Church, and it's time for us to get the service started and worship a little bit. So if you can, or if you're able, you can stand and worship with us.
Awesome to have you here with us today. We are so excited to see each and every one of you, whether you're joining us in the house today or you're joining us online. We just want to say welcome. We are so glad that you are here. I hope you noticed the sign as you came in the door that said welcome home, because that is really our intention. We want you to feel like you have come home. We're a place where you can be yourself, you can be free of condemnation, you can be free from the guilt of life and the pressures of life, and know that at least for this 1 hour, I can just be me and know that God loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me. This is how much the Father cares for me. And so if he cared for me when he was on the cross, he cares for me even now with everything that is going on in our lives. And so I just want you to feel at home. We have waters back at the back at the refreshment center. Guys, make yourselves at home because we truly do want you to feel like you have come home. I do want to just remind you of a couple of really quick things, okay? First things first, I want to invite each and every one of you, if you would please, to at some point during the service, pull out that smartphone, check in on Facebook, let your friends know that you're here, let them know that you are connecting with God today. This is a great and powerful tool to invite friends and family with you to come next week, because I once read that about 200 to 300 people will see a check-in. That's an easy way to invite somebody to church, right? So incredible tool. Make sure you do that whether you're watching online or in the house today. Just check in on Facebook. Let us know so we can be connecting with you. We're so excited. For those of you who are joining us online, make sure to join the conversation. We have prayer counselors online who would love to engage in the service with you. I do want to remind you, we are still doing our social distancing because, COVID-19 be crazy, right? And so we do want to make sure that we are asking that you encourage one another to maintain that 6 feet of separation. It's really hard for me because I grew up in that very Southern Baptist tradition of, like, let's hug everybody and anybody, right? And so it's really hard, I know, but, we want to make sure we're doing everything the right way and being safe with one another. That's why all the chairs are scattered out, all sorts of helter-skelter, is so that we can make sure that we're keeping 6 feet apart. And so help us with that. I do want to remind you, we're not handing out worship guides right now. We're just trying to minimize how many points of contact that we have with one another. But we do still have a bulletin available. You can go to treecitychurchtn.com and click on bulletins. You'll be able to click on today's date to be able to follow along with us on that way, okay? So make sure you check in online. Down at the very bottom of that digital bulletin, there is an opportunity for you to be able to click on a connection card to record your visit with us. We're not going to come beat bang on your door at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning or anything like that. We just want to be able to pray with you and for you. So make sure you also record your visit that way. Guys, I'm so excited that we're here today. We get to worship God. What an honor and a privilege that is. We're going to stand, we're going to pray, and we're going to continue to worship. Stand with us, if you would. God, we love you. And we are so honored, so humbled that you have invited us into your presence. And so we ask, God, in this moment, we know that there's so much going on in the world today. There's so much going on in our lives. And it may feel like right now we're being pushed in. We are being crushed by the pressures of life. And help us, Father God, to just rest in your love in this moment. Help us for just this 1 hour to be able to just say, God loves me. And in this moment, that's going to have to be enough. And that is enough to know that we are wrapped up in those great big loving daddy arms. I mean, today is Father's Day, so what an appropriate day to just come and find rest in the loving arms of Almighty Father God. So we pray, God, that you would just be welcome in this place, that our hearts would be open and receptive to you, that whatever it is that we feel you moving us towards in our lives today, that our answer would already be yes. Whatever it is, God, that you are calling us to, we say yes. In this moment, God, we are so honored and humbled by your love. So undeserving are we, and yet you loved us. So we just take a moment to rest in that and say thank you. God, you're incredible. And so we just worship you. And as we sing, let these not just be words that we just speak along to a melody. Let this come from the joy, the overflow of joy that you have placed within us. Let us be able to sing because of the joy that you have given us. So God, we celebrate you. We sing with joy. And we ask all of this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we continue to sing.
To you. but I know that we're all searching for it. It's only you provide, because you know just what we need before we say a word. You're good, good Father. Yes, who you are. Yes, who you are. Yes, who you are. And I'm loved by you. Yes, who I am. Yes, who I am. Yes, who I am. 'Cause you're perfect in all your ways. You were perfect in all your ways. You were perfect in all your ways to us. You were perfect in all your ways. You were perfect in all your ways. You were perfect in all your ways. As you call me, deeper still, as you call me, deeper still, as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. Your good, good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. In our loves, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your prayer. In our loves, so we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness.
I'm not used to that. I get on the stage and people, I know you're all cheering for me when I got on the stage, right? Boy, that made me feel good. I don't know about you, Pastor Chad, that made me feel good. Hey, you can be seated, and we are so, again, glad that you were here with us. Chad, happy Father's Day. Yeah, right? And thank you very much. That was so sweet. Man, we are so excited to have you here with us today, and I guess I should have expected good Father on Father's Day. I didn't even make that expectation, but I got to tell you, guys, I am so excited to be back. Had a great vacation. Miss Michelle had a great time in Gatlinburg. It was hot, and it was crazy packed. We went to the aquarium. I've never seen, it was like leaving a hockey game or a football game or something. It was just, I don't know if I have 6 inches, let alone 6 feet. This was crazy, but we come back, I was just like, man, you don't realize how much stuff and how much pressure there is until you can get away from it, and then you're like, it's like you can almost physically feel this weight coming off of you. But Chad did an amazing job preaching for us last week. I'm so grateful for that. So thank you, Chad. Thank you for allowing us to get away. Thank you to the body for allowing us to get away. And so today we're going to be picking up a brand new sermon series. Brand new sermon series. We're calling it Royalty. And today we're going to be talking about kings and kingdoms. Now, who here as a kid, some of you are still kids, right? I'm just a 38-year-old kid, so I still have the kid mentality. But who here heard growing up whenever your parents told you not to do something or told you to go do something, and you would say, why? And the answer was, because I said so. I'm seeing, yeah, you're right. I'm seeing people get pointed out. This is awesome. This is going to be a good day, y'all. I'm so excited. But, you know, I grew up with hearing that a lot. Because I said so. Really? Okay. I'm going to have to pull up my Netflix queue when I get home. Because I said so. Now, for a while, that answer would work, right? You know, we were young enough and naive enough to think, well, mom and dad always have the answer, and that's just going to have to be enough, right? Because I said so. But eventually, right, we reach an age where that doesn't work. Or at least for me. And, you know, sadly for my parents, that age came early. I was a very, we'll call it ornery kid. Yeah, Michelle and I have talked about whenever we start a family, she's like, man, I really hope our kids take after me. Because if they take after you, I don't know if I can take it. Because she's heard all of the stories about, like, you know, Pastor Kevin when he was just hanging out on the roof of the garage, because I was a dumb kid, and that's what I did, right? And so we eventually reach an age, though, where because I said so simply does not work anymore. I mean, particularly, that's how I'm wired. You know, I like to understand processes. Even to this day, I'm left brain that way. I want to understand the full process. Like, I don't want a job where I just have to do a task over and over and over, and I don't know how it affects other tasks, and I don't know how the tasks leading up to mine affected mine. I just have to do my bit. I don't thrive in that. I've tried factory work. It was not for me. I'm not wired that way. I have to understand the nature of the task. I got to understand why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I need to know what it impacts, what led up to me doing this. Why am I necessary? And so I have to understand the full process, and because of that, I can be a little contrarian by nature, because if I don't understand it, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to engage with it. Yeah, and so, you know, there's a really good chance if I don't understand why I'm doing it, that I'm going to resist doing it, like actively resist doing it, not just begrudgingly do it. I'm going to find a way to not do it. That's just my nature. And so we see, as we explore the scriptures, we see like all these prophets, they were completely rejected by the people who should have embraced them, right? They were rejected by their own communities, by their own families. And yet, they would still go out and act in their faith. And so they were maybe a little less resistant than I am. They were a little more conducive. Good for them. I'm a stubborn dude. We see in the New Testament all these disciples go to their death in the name of Jesus Christ. They went through martyrdom. They went through trials and tribulations. I mean, guys, disciples had a pretty tough time of it. And yet they were just willing to go out and do it. But yet, strangely enough, here we are in the 21st century, and sometimes it's hard for us to get out of bed to go to church. it's really hard for us to motivate ourselves to do the things we know God is calling us to do. I mean, there are certain things we have to discern within our spirit, but then there are certain things that are just in Scripture. We should just be doing these things, right? We don't have to ask, what should I be doing, when a lot of times God has clearly told you. He just says, open that book, I'll tell you what to do. And so, why, if we see the prophets so willing to continue to act in faith despite all of the rejection, if we see the disciples willing to go to their deaths, horrible deaths, for in the very name of Jesus Christ, why can I not get out of bed to go to church? And so what I want today is for us to discuss the why. The why. I want us to explore, how can we be so uninspired by Jesus Christ? And I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to make you feel bad. What I want us to explore is why. Because if we understand the why, maybe you're like me, and the process would make a little bit more sense if we understood the why of why this was so important. And we would be a little bit more responsive to doing the things that Jesus has told us to do. See, we want to act like being obedient is difficult. We want to act like this is tough. There was this Danish theologian, Soren Kierkegaard. He had this great quote. He says, the Bible is actually very easy to understand. But we Christians, and I'm lumping me in there, okay? So I don't want you to think I'm coming down on you from the pulpit holier than thou. I struggle with this stuff too, okay? Soren, he said, we Christians are a bunch of scheming swindlers. Anybody being called a scheming swindler? I feel like I should be like pirating a boat or something. It's a great word. Anyways, we pretend to be unable to understand. We pretend to be unable to understand the Bible because we know very well that the minute we understand it, we are obliged to act accordingly. Wow. What is this dude really saying? What Soren is saying is that we make Christianity, we make our faith in God a lot more complicated than it really is, as an excuse to cop out of being obedient to the things of God. Again, I'm not coming down on you. It's hard for me too. But the point is, understanding is not the hard part. Yeah, there's some stuff in here that's like, I don't really know what God is saying. But most of the time, we can open up a passage and be like, oh, I know exactly what I need to be doing. Go ye therefore making disciples of all nations, teaching them the commands that I've commanded you, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit, is a pretty easy thing to understand, right? It's not hard for us to understand a Great Commission, so why is it so hard? The hard part is not the understanding, but it will be the hard part until we understand the heart of it, the why of it. Does that make sense? Understanding it is going to be hard because we don't want to understand why. And again, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm not here to make you say, oh, well, you're a terrible person because you're not here every time the church doors are open. Because guess what? I grew up in that, and I didn't become a legit believer until I was well into my 20s. I've heard somebody say, just because you hang out in a garage doesn't make you a car. Hanging out in the church does not make you a Christian. It does not make you a believer. So I'm not here to condemn you to say, oh, you're a bad person, you're going to hell simply because you don't go to the church door every time Kevin swings by and unlocks it. That's not what I'm saying. What I want us to do is understand the why. Again, I grew up in that mentality. So I don't want us today to feel like we have to defend yourself, okay? I want you to know that Kevin loves you. Tree City loves you. We are excited that you were here. If you are not here next week, I'm not going to cast you out. I'm not going to come beat you with a stick, any of that kind of stuff. Yes, I'll be like Negan, or the anti-Negan, I guess. I will put the bat down. So what I want us to do is explore the heart of the why. I don't want us to try to come like, okay, get a pen. Margaret, get your purse, get a pen, get a piece of, you know you've always got 17 receipts in there from last week. I don't know who Margaret is, but I always refer to my hypothetical characters as Margaret. Yeah, right. So anyways, we're moving on. I don't want you to go ahead and start writing out your list of all the excuses I'm going to give to Kevin when he finally shuts up. about why I don't go to church. I'm not here for that. I don't want you to come up with excuses about why we avoid community. Why do we avoid our groups? Why do we avoid coming together in fellowship? I don't need those excuses. You're not answering to me. Our leadership team answers to me. That's it. I'm not here to convince you that you should be giving tithes and offerings. I'm not here to convict you because you're not raising your hands, you're not singing along in praise. What I want us to explore is why is it so hard for us? Well, I think it's so hard for us because we don't understand why it's really important. We don't understand it. And so it's important for us to understand the why of it mattering so we become faithful in what matters. We're not going to be faithful in what matters until we are understanding in why it matters. Does that make sense? Everybody still with me so far? Amen. Excellent, excellent. Thank you. So the author of Hebrews, he says this of Jesus in chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, the Son radiates. So he's talking about Jesus. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. So he is sustaining everything. He sustains our very lives by his commands. When he has cleansed us, or when he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. So this is significant to a Hebrew audience. I know it's been a couple thousand years since this was written, so maybe some of this context gets a little lost on us. Important piece of it is in the title of this book, Hebrews. Hebrews. He is writing, he or she, whoever it is, specifically is writing to a Hebrew audience. This is significant because to the Hebrew audience, so we grew up in this, you know, we grew up in the American context, this Western world context. We're very independent, right? We've known nothing but freedom. I'm pretty sure nobody was here during the American Revolution, right? Okay, okay. So, I have a Nashville Predators hat right over there, so I'm right there with you. Perfect. We'll forgive you for both. God's grace is sufficient for all. Nice. That is excellent. So it's significant to a Hebrew audience because they have not known what we have known. They have known oppression. They have known servitude. They have known enslavement. This is the history of the Hebrew people. Every time God would be like, okay, you're free. Be a free people. Just worship me. They turn around and say, no, I'm going to be sinful and prideful and not do the things you tell me to do. And so Jesus is like, or God's like, well, then we, if you're going to choose oppression, I'm going to let you have oppression. That has not changed. But he's writing specifically to a Hebrew audience. And so to the Hebrews, Jesus was more than just the Messiah. Or he was more than a savior. He was the Messiah. He was the prophesied, foretold guy who's going to come and redeem the Hebrew people out of servitude, out of enslavement, out of bondage. See, the Hebrews had known nothing but oppression under the rule of foreign power. See, we act like we want to get twisted because God has told us to gather together. So we got to go to church, right? We know that's, I mean, we know that's expected of the believer, right? We can't say we are children of God and not love the bride, right? Okay, so we're on board with that. We know we should be giving tithes and offerings. Why? Because the Bible tells us that. I don't have to convince you of that. These are not new to you. You've been doing that. Anybody here not pay taxes? That is amazing. You pay sales tax? You buy anything? You don't buy a single thing? Okay. Context is lost on her. The rest of us, we pay taxes, right? We drive a vehicle. We got to have the tags, right? We go buy a Sun Drop because I buy a lot of that. Oh, cool. Yeah. Yeah. Caffeine's amazing. It's my diet right there. We pay sales tax. We pay property tax. We pay tax, right? And so the oppressor, this is what Jews have known for years. They've always paid heavy taxes, right? This is not news to them. So in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was delivered by God time over time, only to allow themselves to become conquered again due to pride, due to sin. And this is important. And so the scripture we've just read is important because we understand, right, that this is the audience that he's writing to. He or she is writing to an audience who has known oppression. And so he said, good news, the Messiah has come and redeemed. And because he's done this, because he's rescued, look, he went and sat down at the right hand of the Father. This is to indicate that the work was finished. This is done, yo. Amen. This is a done work. Jesus did what he came to do, and then he was finished. And he took his seat at the right hand of God. Why are these things important? Because he has finished freeing us. He has finished rescuing us. He has finished freeing us from the chains that enslave us. And so just as you and I, that we allow different things to enslave us. We allow different things to oppress us, to hold us down. And we realize that we too need a rescuer. That's why all of this stuff is important. It's because we have been redeemed. We have been rescued. All of the things that oppressed us before, all of the things that crushed us before, I don't know about you, I try to fix my brokenness with broken things for far too long. I've tried to find relationship after relationship growing up that would lead me from broken place to broken place. I've tried to find freedom in the bottom of a barrel. Didn't find it. What I found was a need for more. Broken things only lead to brokenness. So we needed somebody to rescue us. That is the beauty of the gospel, is because he sits down at the right hand of the Father to say, I have done the work and I am done with the work. I have done everything I have to do. I died on the cross. I overcame death by the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? My work is done. That's why this is so important for us. So we don't just see Jesus as a Savior. He doesn't just rescue us from the penalty of our sin. He redeems our very sin to say, nope, you made some mistakes, but guess what? I can use that to reach other people. And that's the very work he goes about doing. Revelation chapter 19. This is awesome. So we're right at the, and I know people are like freaking out, like, is this the end times? Guys, you know, Jesus don't even know that. All right, so let's just act like, hey, we need to be motivated because this very well could be the last day on earth. So let's go reach some people for Jesus and let's just stop worrying about it right there, okay? That's our motivation, that the end is coming. So let's talk about what's going to happen. Why is it significant? So he's referring to Jesus. John sees this epic vision in Revelation. And so he writes it all down because guess what? He's obedient. He was told to. And so it says he wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. Remember John chapter 1? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he says the Word of God was his title. And it says, from his mouth came a sharp sword. This is the Word of God. A sharp sword to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron rod. And he will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. And this is incredible. On his robe, at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There he is again. He is the King. He is the Lord. And it is written on his robe at his thigh. Why is this so significant? Because he's not wearing battle armor. He's wearing a priestly robe. He is wearing a priestly robe. These are the clothes of Christ when he comes to finish this thing off, to say, I have come to rescue this kingdom. He comes not in a battle armor, but in priestly robes. Why is this so important? So if we look throughout the Old Testament, when we look at the Levitical text, we look at the Deuteronomy, whenever God is like, okay, this is how you're going to be a theocracy. This is how you can continue to be forgiven for your sins. He sets up this sacrificial system. And a part of that was they would sprinkle the altar and the robes with the blood of the sacrifices to symbolically cleanse, symbolically purify the robes that the priests were wearing. And so he shows up wearing this priestly robe. And this symbolizes the purity that God has given us through his son, Jesus. So there are these blood on his garments that signify the sacrifice of Jesus. And again, it's his own blood. It's his own blood. That's the significance. Why is this so incredible? Because he comes not as a conquering soldier, but as a redeeming priest. This is big news. This is really big news. Because he comes atoned by his own blood. He's coming to free us by his own blood. What are the weapons of war that Jesus is using here? His own atoning blood and the sword of God's word. He's coming to free us by his sacrifice and by his word. That's how we know we can trust these things. That's why we know that God said, when God says, I have a great plan for you, plan of not of destruction, but of peace and a purpose, he is saying, you can trust me because whenever I come, I'm going to come as a priest with the blood of the Lamb and with the word of God. This is why we can trust it. This is why it's important, because he finishes his work. These are the weapons that he has equipped the church with. He has given each and every one of us the blood of Christ. He has given us the word of God to say, go out and conquer. But don't conquer with violence, conquer with love. And that is profound. See, we love movies. Chad, Avengers, Braveheart, Gladiator, right? I'm right in his wheelhouse. I know. We talk movies all day long. That's how I know these things. We love these movies, these stories of the conquering hero. There's always a guy on a horse, right? And that's our hero. They never wear a helmet because we got to make sure we get them on camera. But, you know, nevertheless, there's a guy on a horse and that's our hero. We love it. Yet the prophets, they were just... Because they know conquering. They have been conquered a lot. And so that's why it's so significant to the Hebrew audience. That's why it's so significant when John writes this vision in Revelation that the conquering hero is not some guy on a horse dressed to the nines in body armor. He's even got his helmet on. There must not be a camera in sight. See, we love these, yet the prophets would scoff at these things. Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. It says, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. Your Messiah, your Redeemer is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. And that's where things are different. He doesn't come in on his 70-foot-tall horse. He comes in riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And I will remove the battle chariots from Israel and the war horses from Jerusalem. I will destroy all the weapons used in battle. And your king will bring peace to the nations. His realm will stretch from sea to sea and from the Euphrates to the ends of the earth. He's saying there is a king coming to rescue you, to redeem you, and he is not coming in a traditional sense. He's not coming to conquer you and to enslave you. He is coming to free you with love, free you with peace, free you from the guilt and condemnation that the enemy, Satan, wants to throw upon you. And this is why it is significant for us to understand that he is not just a savior, he's a king. He is a king, and he's coming to finish to rescuing us. He's coming to restore the kingdom. This is why we can be excited, is because we are a part of the winning battle. We are a part of the army that is going to be victorious because we already experienced victory in ourselves. These are the weapons that God has given us: worship, fellowship, devotion. So my question to you is, how many of us, because, you know, we all talk about how God changed our lives, right? And for those of us who are believers, we talked about the way Jesus has set us free. If he can change our lives, why can't he change our alarm clock on a Sunday morning? Why can't he change my calendar? Why can't I start pushing off some stuff that ain't really all that important so I can put on the things of God? If he changed my life, why can't he change my calendar? If he changed my life, why can't he change my social circle? Have you seen these people? They are destructive to me. Yet I can't quit hanging out with them. Why can't he change our social circle if he can change our lives? Why can't he change our checkbook? Uh-oh. Now we're getting personal. Why can't he change our checkbooks? Why can't he change the way we spend things to be more generous? I don't care if you give to Tree City Church. God says be a cheerful giver. Find something you can be cheerful about and be generous out of your mind. Tithing is a different subject. We should tithe to the church, but that's a different thing. My question is, why can we not be more generous? Just generous, okay? Why can't we be more generous if he has not changed our lives? That is the question that he wants to pose to us today, is has he really changed your life as we're closing? Has he really changed your life? Because we got to understand, he is not just a savior. He is a Messiah. He is a winning king. He is coming to rescue his kingdom. He is coming to redeem his kingdom. He is ready to set you free with love and peace and say, go to battle with love. Go to battle with the word of God. Has he really changed your life? That's what I want to know today. You're watching online, you say, hey, Kevin, that's not me. He has not changed my life. It's time for self-examination. I don't know what else to tell you. Maybe you're here today, you say, you know what? I cannot remember a moment where I could say, God really changed my life. I remember I was 8 years old. I was at Madison Street Baptist Church. And then I remember that I had been scared during a storm. And I said, I don't want to go to hell. And so I thought that made me a believer because I simply didn't want to go to hell. Who does want to go to hell? Nobody, right? But I thought that made me a believer. And so I just became this shell of a person because I had gone through the motions. I had prayed the little prayer. I had gone to the front and I'd got baptized. I got wet. Probably a good thing. I was 8. I probably needed a bath. But after that, nothing changed. My life did not change. Why? Because I did not understand the why of it. This is why it's so important for us, because God wants so much more for you than you understand. God wants to set you free. But has he changed your life? So my question to you is, if he cannot change those things about your life, has he really changed your life? Maybe there's a time in your life you say, hey, you know what? There was a time I was so sold out for Jesus. I was so on fire for Jesus that nothing could dampen that flame. But guess what? Somehow the flame still has died out. Still somehow that flame has died out. And I know that I meant it. I know that I became a follower of Jesus that day. But there's just been something about my life. Maybe I've just been so busy. I've allowed things to overwhelm me. I've allowed things to defeat me. But today I'm saying no more. I'm going to walk in the love and the freedom that is found in Jesus Christ again. And I'm going to rededicate. I'm going to recommit my life to following him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's somebody here today who would say, yeah, Kevin, that's me. I sold out to Jesus once before. And you know, I just kind of let it taper off. And I know I'm a believer. I know I'm a believer. I'm not worried about where I would go if I died today. What I'm worried about is the legacy I would leave behind. And today, I want to recommit my life to following Jesus. Is that you today? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you're watching online. You would say, Kevin, that's me. And I know there's some things that need to change. I know that there are some things that need to change. I've made that decision to follow Jesus, but something needs to change. Would you simply type the word change? Comment the word change. Our prayer counselors are online. We're ready to pray with you. We're not going to make a big scene out of it. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. We just want to pray with you. Type the word change. Let us know that you are surrendering your life back over. Maybe you say, Kevin, there's not been a point where I've ever really said yes to following Jesus. I knew I didn't want to go to hell. That's a logical decision to make. So no one's guilting you for that. That's a smart decision to not want to go to hell. But now today you're realizing that there's so much more to it than that. And today I've said yes. I don't want to go to hell, but I've never said yes to following Jesus. And because my life has never really been changed, I am realizing today that I don't have the peace of God. I don't have the love of God. The purpose that I should find filling me up inside, I keep trying to replace it with broken things. And guess what, Kevin? I'm just like you. That led me to a place of further and further and further brokenness. And I'm tired of being broken. And today I want to start walking in the wholeness that is found in Jesus Christ. So today, for the very first time, I am meaning it. And I am saying yes to following Jesus. Is that you today? Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Maybe you're watching online. You say, you know what, Kevin, that's me. I am saying yes to Jesus for the very first time. Just comment that word Jesus in the comment thread. We'd love to engage with you. We'll send you a private message to kind of let you know what your next steps are. Just a moment. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. We're still practicing social distancing, so we're asking that instead of coming to the stage, we ask that you just make an altar right there at your chair. But we're getting ready to sing about, Lord, how we need you. Would that be your prayer today? Would that be your confession this afternoon? God, we need you. Teach our hearts to sing to you. Teach our lives to reflect you. Is that you today? God, we love you. We thank you so much for the amazing love that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that you are not just a Savior, that you are a King, meaning you conquer everything. You are the conqueror. You free us from everything that would enslave us, and you do this actively. The work is finished. And so, God, we just celebrate what it is that you are doing in our lives. We celebrate the work that you have done. We celebrate every decision that is being made here today, every decision that is being made online today, every decision that will be made online during the replay. Everything that you are doing, God, we just love you. We celebrate you. For those who are raising their hands to say yes to being obedient to Jesus for the very first time, we join with the angels in celebrating and rejoicing the one that has been found. God, we love you. We thank you. We celebrate you. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. I need. my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll follow you. Jesus, you're my open stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every year I need you. My one defense, my righteousness.
Just stay right here for just a second. Chad, just hang out with me. Leanne, can you pull that chorus slide back up? I just feel like there's somebody here today. Maybe you're watching online. Maybe you're in the building. I don't know. But I just sense that there's somebody here who's saying, you know what? I need God. There's a storm in my life. There's circumstances that are swirling around me that I don't see a way out of, that I'm feeling crushed. And today I just need to confess, more than ever, I need God. I'm going to ask everybody here just to close their eyes and bow their heads. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to put you on the spot. I feel like we all need to just rest in this truth that we need God. That we need God. And so here in just a moment, Chad's going to sing this chorus one more time. I'm going to ask everybody to just keep their heads bowed, their eyes closed. Rest in this. Let this be your prayer. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. Chad. Be dismissed in just a couple moments. I do want to have to just run a couple of quick announcements right back by you. First of all, we just want to say thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who do give to support the mission of Tree City Church, I just want to say thank you. It's because of what you're doing that we're able to do the online stuff, that we're able to continue this ministry. And so I just want to say thank you. We do have three ways that you can give. We have an offering box at the back. You can give online at treecitychurchtn.com, or you can just download the app called Tithely. And then click on search now, be able to find our church that way, and you can give your gifts and offerings through that means as well. Guys, we are so excited that you were with us today. I hope you have a very safe week. Chad, why don't you pray and dismiss us, sir?